you know, God looks for faith where he can find it sometimes. I heard on CD a testimony of a ministry intern that decided he'd go pray for people in the hospital. So he's walking through the hospital. I think Bill Johnson was talking about this. Walking through the people in the hospital, came across a woman and said, "Can I pray for you?" She was getting ready to be seen by the physician. He's like, "Can I pray for you?" She's like, "Well, okay, if you want to, but I don't believe in this, you know, faith healing stuff. Don't give me none of this, you know, stuff like that. You know, if you want to pray, fine, you know, but I don't believe in this miracle stuff." And he says, "So I just prayed that," he said, he told her, "Well, let's just pray that God would do what God wants to do." She was okay with that. So he prayed for her. She gets healed. She goes into the doctor. The doctor can't find anything wrong with her. She didn't have any faith. This man had tremendous faith. So I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, it's a little sticky sometimes. And some of the questions that come up are just kind of, you like, really can have your mind spinning. And it's a huge question. And we may not have all the answers. I would love to say to you, "Well, you know, I've been studying this week, and actually I've got all the answers now." You know, we may not have all the answers, but we have many good answers. And we don't want to let what we don't understand get in the way of the glory and blessing that can come from what we do understand. And we want to lay hold of those things and pray and seek to grow in understanding so that we do realize so many more answers and see so much more success and victory come about in the ministry. If we can uncover some answers, we can reach a place where we truly believe that God is able, not only able, but willing and desirous to heal the sick today. Amen? John.
Healing takes many forms, as with Johnny Eric's
child. She's another case. I'm not going to get to her today. I highly respect her. Highly respect her. But let me say this. My observation, frankly, my observation has been, after years of looking at this stuff, that people and ministers who have a high degree of confidence that God is willing to heal tend to see a whole lot more healings and miracles than those who don't. Just an observation. And those who do, I mean, they're not always the people I would have chosen. Sometimes they're just a little weird. You know, sometimes I'm not on the same page completely doctrinally with every point of doctrine that they espouse. Sometimes I would do things differently than they do. Sometimes I scratch my head and say, "God, why'd you pick him?" But it just seems to me by observation that those who have a high degree of confidence that God is willing and wants to heal people just happen to see a ton more miracles than those people who don't. And so that observation has been kicking my unbelieving butt to the point where I've come to a place of decision. I'm going to stop looking for reasons why God doesn't heal and start pursuing the answers and the reasons why he does want to heal. Praise God. John Wimber, in fact, in his book, he was talking about the first... He went for 10 months. He decided, "I believe God wants to heal people." And he went for 10 months without seeing a single healing in his church. Lost people in his church. And he got so conditioned to, you know, when he would pray for people and we'd get healed right away, he tried to explain some reasons why they might not have gotten healed. And he got so good at this that he could just roll it off his tongue like that. It was an automatic response. And one day he got a call from this woman who said, or from this man who says, "My wife is sick in bed and we need someone to watch the kids. And if she doesn't get healed, I can't go to work. I'm going to lose money on the job. I might lose my job. I need you to come over and pray for my wife." So he's like, "Oh God, you know, Why did this happen to this guy? And why does it have to be on my ship?" So he goes over to the place. He goes in there, prays for the woman. And as soon as he's done, he starts launching into his spiel that he just, you know, has down pat. He's just launching why this woman probably won't get healed. Why is this? Why is that? All of a sudden, he sees the man smiling at him. And out of the corner of his eye, he sees the woman going off behind him. And she says, "Well, I've been healed. I feel great. You guys want to stay for coffee and donuts?" But we do. We get into such a, you know, we get so focused on why God might not heal instead of pursuing why we should be encouraged to lay hold of the possibility that God really, truly might want us healed. And if we pursue those things in faith, yes, with a sound mind and sound doctrine, but pursue them in faith, I think we will be amazed at what God does. Praise God. Now let me ask you a question. What was Jesus most famous for outside of his death and resurrection? We know the cross is probably the most famous thing because everybody's wearing a cross around their neck. You see it all the time. But if you talk about Jesus, you go to somebody on the street and say, aside from the death and resurrection, what was Jesus known for? What would you say that most people would say he was famous for? Miracles. Okay. Did Jesus perform miracles? All right. Now think about this one. Did he heal anybody? Okay. Very good. I would submit to you that he healed lots of people. Here's the thing. I want to be more like Christ. And if the cry of my heart is to be more Christ-like, how many people say, I want to be more Christ-like? I want to grow in likeness to Christ. I believe that God has predestined me to be conformed to the image of Christ, and He is working all things together for good in my life to help transform me into the image of Christ. How many would agree with that? Amen. Well, you know, if my heart is to be more like Christ, but I don't see any place in my life for any ministry of healing, then what Jesus am I trying to be like? Because if you take that out of the life of Christ, if you take that out of everything we know about Christ, there's not a whole lot left. I mean, there's stuff. There's good teaching. There's love. There's compassion. And you might say, well, you know, I want to have the heart of Christ. Maybe not as healing ministry. I want to have the heart of Christ. I want to have the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think He healed people? Wasn't it out of His heart of love and compassion? We just saw that when He was with the leper, it said Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. So if you have the compassion of Christ, what ought it compel you to do? Heal people. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Praise God. If we are concerned about having the compassion of Christ, consider this. It's not only because of His compassion that He heals. It's also because of His compassion for the sick that He wants to heal through you and me, through us. You don't have to show me that from the Bible, brother, before I believe that. All right, well, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. I'm glad you said that. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with what? Compassion. He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, if you're a disciple, raise your hand. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Jesus was moved with what?
Compassion.
And so He said to His disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, if you're like me in my Baptist days and think that, well, that just has to do with evangelism, look at the very next verse out of the box. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. And when He had called His 12 disciples to Him, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to do what?
Heal.
Heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He was moved with compassion. He said, Lord, pray that the Lord would send workers into the harvest. And then He gave His disciples power to heal sickness and disease and cast out demons. I think there's a connection there. Because of His compassion, He knows that as a single individual walking upon this earth, He can only do so much. He said, but it's advantageous if I go to the Father, because I'll send the Holy Spirit and all of y'all will be doing the stuff. That's a paraphrase. That's the Eastern Shore. That's the ESV, Eastern Shore version. Amen? So because of His compassion, Jesus is not only willing to heal, He is willing and desirous to heal through us. In fact, He said, pray to God that more of us gets in the picture so that He can heal through more people. Now, I said we were going to talk about why some people do not get healed, and that's what I'm going to do. But you know what? That is a huge topic. It really is a huge topic. I can't do it all today. This is going to take a few weeks. I'm going to have to unfold this a little bit at a time. But I believe as long as we're here, we might as well start right here in this passage, because I think that's one primary reason why people don't get healed, is that they're not convinced that God always wants to heal. Let me say that again. I think one primary reason why people don't get healed is because they're not convinced that God wants to heal or always wants to heal. A lot of them are not even convinced that God usually wants to heal. And many are convinced that have a hard time with whether God sometimes wants to heal or even rarely wants to heal. And I know a whole denomination that said God never wants to heal miraculously. Praise God. In fact, some are convinced that God not only, even some who believe that God wants to heal sometimes, they believe that it's only rarely that He wants to, and it's never that He wants to heal them. Yeah, I believe God wants to heal, but He wants to heal everybody else. And I say that with great compassion. I don't say that to mock at all. That's a hard place to be. When in the midst of battling my Crohn's disease years ago, before I did get healed, through many tears, after 18 hours of unimaginable pain where I lost the strength to even cope anymore, I would cry out to God and say, God, why don't you want to heal me? I didn't even have the strength to sit or stand anymore. I curled up in a ball in the corner of the bathroom and just held onto my guts because they ached so bad. And I didn't have any more strength to deal with it emotionally or physically. I said, God, why don't you want to heal me? And I think that's the cry of many people's hearts. Why don't you want to heal me, God? And so they conclude that if they're sick, it must be because God, for some reason, wants them sick. And it might not occur that it may be because they're engaged in a battle against a powerful spiritual enemy over their health, and they just simply have not won that battle yet. The battle is raging on, and the victory is looming. But they're not just there yet. And God wants them to see, to fight that fight of faith and see that thing through to victory and lay a hold of what He has for them. And they may have to grow a little bit in the process. And they may have to endure and fight that fight of faith, but God wants to see them well. And the problem is, once we get in a mindset where we believe that God just doesn't want to heal us, then we unconsciously start to build our theology around that. We don't even know where we're doing it. We say, well, what about Job? If God always wants to heal, why did Job get sick? Probably the better question is, let me submit this to you. Probably the better question is not if God always wants to heal, why did Job get sick? Maybe the better question is, if God doesn't want to heal, why did He heal Job? I don't want to spoil this for you guys. If you haven't read the book of Job yet, just put your hands in yours. But in the end of the story, he gets healed. He gets restored. 100% over what he had before. Question isn't, if God wants to heal, why did he let Job get sick? The question is, if God doesn't want to heal, why did he heal Job? Praise God. But not all healing goes away. I'm sorry, not all healing. Not all healing comes right away. Don't even laugh at me, Heather. Stop it. Not all healing comes right away. Oftentimes there is a battle, both in contemporary times and in Scripture. We see that happening. For Job, it took quite a while. And Job had a lot of internal wrestling to do. I mean, Job said things like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All the while he was complaining the whole time that it was unfair. You know, and of course, Job, we have a better covenant than Job anyway. Scripture says we have a better covenant. Praise God. But not all healing comes right away. And sometimes it is a battle. And if you come up here and get prayed for and you're not instantaneously transformed into a picture of health, that doesn't mean that it's not available to you or that you should come away a failure. Doesn't mean you have to pretend that you're healed either. But just don't give up, man. Just affirm your faith in God and pursue His heart and pursue Him. There was a man. We want to look at a couple guys. Thank you, God. You've been very patient with me. But I want to get a couple, slip a couple guys in here under the radar real quick. There was a guy in the New Testament named Epaphroditus. If I had a name like that, I'd be sick too. Epaphroditus. I'm sorry, Epaphroditus. He probably hears me from heaven. I apologize. You know, this is America. We just have different names. Okay. Probably thinks if his he was called John. He, you know. Anyway, guy named Epaphroditus who almost died of sickness while the Apostle Paul was with him. And a lot of you know, dear Christians who don't believe in the gifts of healing. We'll use this guy as an example and say, well, you know, if God wanted to heal miraculously, if God was still doing that kind of thing back then, He would have healed Epaphroditus back when Paul was with him. He wouldn't have almost died. Well, actually, He did heal him. Just not right away. Just not right away. He endured quite a bit. He almost died. In Philippians 2:25, it says, Paul's writing, he says, well, I considered it a necessity to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier. But your messenger and the one who ministered to me, your messenger and the one who ministered to me in my need. Talking about Epaphroditus. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I've sent him the more eagerly to you, so that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful also. So we can see that even though he was sick, somebody had mercy on him. Who had mercy on him? God had mercy on him. Was he healed? Then what's the problem? Roland Baker, husband of Heidi Baker, has an amazing ministry in Mozambique. Almost died last year. I think it was like late the year before. Almost died. Sick near unto death. And at the Voice of the Apostles conference, he was not only healed, he was so healed, he was running around like a little kid, leaping over people. People got slain in the Spirit. He'd leap over them to go lay hands on some folks. He was dancing in the Spirit, worshiping God, jumping up and down. It was like life from the dead.